What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. Me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. And we have hit the midway point of the fantasy regular season now.
It's insane how fast it goes.
I mean, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, and once you hit Halloween, then it goes into, like, light speed.
Right.
Right through the end of the season.
Because then you're just pretty much almost on top of the fantasy playoffs, and then just more weeks after that. So, plenty to talk about. But first, before we do that, go behind the glass, as always, our faithful producer, our man there, Sir Edward L. Murphy.
Edward.
Murph, what's up, man?
I'm at that point in my fantasy season, like you just said, midway through, where I'm like, okay, there's a lot of buys this week, and I'm like, oh, this guy performed? Like, guys you don't want to rely on, you're now relying on, and it's a bit scary.
Yeah, this is that point, because now we've got four teams on a bye where you look around your roster, and you're like, either these guys I drafted late in my draft, or I grabbed off the waiver wire that you don't really love, but you're like, I got to play them.
Speaking of scary, though, the top of the quarterback position is littered with awful matchups.
Yep.
Breeze is in Baltimore, Brady's in Chicago, Watson's in Jacksonville, Rivers is in London against Tennessee. So you could see some of these guys give you a stinker or two this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, that could be pretty ugly. So we'll kind of navigate through that. Do we have a delirious pick this week?
I always have.
Cool. So we'll do a delirious pick. I didn't put it on the rundown. That was my bad. But we'll get one of those this week as well. But we also have a special guest coming in the studio a little bit later on. Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah, buddy.
Star of, I was going to say stage and screen, but certainly screen.
Well,
right?
Dude, he's been in plays in New York
there
too,
you go.
Man.
Stage and screen.
And screen. All screens.
All of that.
But he's like the king of all media, kind of.
But,
not like Howard Stern is, but he's pretty close, actually, if you think about it.
Right. But so he'll be here. He'll be conquering the podcast space. He'll talk some fantasy with us. Give us some of his deep sleeper plays.
Dumpster Doug.
He comes up with some names, man. And every once in a while, some of these names hit. So it's always fun to talk to.
You never
to
know
Jerry.
When he's going to give you the next Jaworski Lane or Chris Durham.
There you go. So we'll talk to Jerry about some of his picks as well coming up in just a little bit. But first, let's do some news.
Let's hear the news.
We'll start with the Rams. Cooper Kupp has been ruled out for this week's game against the 49ers because of his knee injury. I don't know that it was a major surprise. I mean, I think the bigger surprise was that he came back to play at all last week. And he didn't really play much in the second half of that game. The Rams figured out how to win without him. And it looks like he's out for at least this week. So the only real question, I mean, we know Brandon Cooks is a start. We know Robert Woods is a start. Josh Reynolds, do you take a chance on him?
I mean, deeper league, you know, sort of dart throw, honestly, because you still got Woods. You've still got Cooks. You've still got the best running back in fantasy football, Todd Gurley there. So that's a dart throw to me.
All right. I kind of agree. I mean, I think if you're playing in a deep league, give him a shot. He'll play on the outside mostly, and maybe he can hit a big play or two. But, you know, we'll see.
And because points is points, if Greg Zuerlein's on your waiver wire, pick him up.
That's right. Greg Zuerlein is back.
He's coming back.
Legatron is back. Greg the Leg, whatever you want to call him.
Yep.
He's back this week for the Rams. More injury news. T.Y. Hilton has practiced fully this week after dealing with hamstring and chest injuries. So it looks like he will be ready to go this week for the Colts. The matchup on paper is not all that great. I mean, the Bills' defense has been pretty good, but do you have enough confidence in T.Y. Hilton that if he plays, you're going to play him?
I mean, we're not talking about Jacoby Brissett throwing him the football. We're talking about his guy, Andrew Luck. So if T.Y.'s back, he's back in my lineup, especially with four teams on a bye. And remember, you know, Ryan Grant's a little bit banged up now as well. Of course, they still don't have Jack Doyle in the lineup. So targets should be a plentiful.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've been loading up. We've seen Chester Rogers. We've seen Eric Ebron get a whole lot of work. I would think that if T.Y. Hilton is back, he is Andrew Luck's favorite receiver. So that's where a lot of those targets will go. Ryan Tannehill looks like he's not going to play again this week for the Miami Dolphins. Now, the NFL is reviewing some sort of injury report issue. That doesn't have anything to do with us. What you need to know is that Ryan Tannehill is not going to play, and it means another week of Brock Osweiler. So Lions defense?
Yes. Because Brock Osweiler, he's not that good. Whatever he did last week, he was not that good. I don't know if it was because the Bears didn't prepare for him, but do you really need to prepare for Brock Osweiler?
You know, I think it's,
I don't know.
It's one of those things, you know, like especially in baseball, you know, where a hitter just seems to have a pitcher's number. You know, like it could be just some light hitting utility infielder, and somehow like they will find a way to light up Clayton Kershaw or whatever it is. I think that's just one of those things where Brock Osweiler just can play against the Bears.
I don't know. But yeah, I think the Lions defense is a good play. I'm not buying into the resurrection of Brock Osweiler as a viable fantasy starter or NFL starter. He's going to turn it over, and the Lions defense is available in a lot of leagues.
Yeah, absolutely. And then one more piece of quarterback news. Derek Anderson is back in our lives. I didn't even know he was in the league.
Dude, he wasn't in the league. Actually, I think at the beginning of the month, he was vacationing with his family.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Marcus. Why would you, if you were vacationing with your family, you're financially good to go, why would you leave that to quarterback the Buffalo Bills? Oh, man, why would you do that?
I guess there's just, look, I mean, never having played professional football, I don't know, maybe there's just something about not being able to stay away.
It's the burning desire to play football. I don't know, man. I'd rather just chill out and,
you know what,
hang out with my family.
I also wonder if he signed that deal thinking, what are the chances I actually have to play this year? Like, I can go and stand on the sideline and collect a check, and you know, and now all of a sudden, you know, Josh Allen is going to be out for the foreseeable future.
How is Nathan Peterman even on their roster?
Nathan
at this
Peterman
point?
Has
like
just
that been dude.
A
he's
disaster.
He's the worst quarterback in the league. You can't. I'm not going to name a name, but there are a lot of quarterbacks, including one that comes to mind, who's way better than Nathan Peterman. But that's neither here nor there. But this, to me, makes the Colts defense streamable.
Yes.
And the Colts defense is not any great shakes.
No, it's not.
But Buffalo, Derek Anderson, and his, what did Money say? He had 19. Size 19 feet. And his size 19s, I'm going out to the waiver wire and dreaming the Colts if I don't have a good defense.
Yeah, it's funny. I said at the beginning of the year, I said, you know, Bills fans at some point are going to miss Tyrod Taylor. And I'm just wondering, Bills fans, do you miss Tyrod yet? Because you could use Tyrod Taylor right now. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So good luck to the Bills and to Derek Anderson. Wish you the best. In the meantime, for the rest of you, stream the Colts defense. And that's pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
We are joined in the studio by a special guest, friend of the program, friend of Fantasy Live, and friend to Fantasy Managers Everywhere. It's actor Jerry O'Connell. Jerry, thanks for stopping by, man.
Oh, man, it is. It's the highlight of my year coming in.
Well, we have you on. Usually once or twice a year, you come on Fantasy Live, and you do what you call your fantasy dumpster dives. Basically, like these are like deep, deep sleepers. And you are amazingly good at this.
I don't know. Sorry, Mike.
No. Do you remember Jaworski Lane? You probably don't, but Jerry did give us Jaworski Lane the week he scored a couple of touchdowns.
Right.
I believe he was a fullback for the Miami Dolphins.
Goal line back.
Chris Durham was another one.
Yeah.
And people are like, who the hell's Chris Durham? Right. He's this wide receiver that played for the Lions, and Jerry had a great call on him as well.
So. I don't know what it is. I'm a cheap person. I'm cheap. If I buy a plane ticket, I go on a number of travel websites. Mm-hmm. I really shop. If I'm just even buying a ticket, let's say we're here in Los Angeles. Let's say I'm going to Vegas. I mean, it's pretty easy. You go to one airline, boom, you buy it. I extensively search and I find the cheapest. I don't care if I have to connect twice on what should be a half hour flight. I'm going to find the cheapest flight. And for me, that's what fantasy football is. You do feel great when you have those. Now, I want to tell you, you typically lose when you start those people because in the words of Michael Fabiano, who is my fantasy guru, don't get fancy. Is that what you always say?
Don't get cute.
Don't get cute.
Right.
That's what Michael always tells me every weekend. I'm like, hey, I want to try, you know, Damian Ratley. I want to put him in my WR1 slot. And Fabs is just like, don't get cute, Jerry. Don't do it. Stick with Julio Jones. Yeah, but Julio's only been scoring 10 points a game. Jerry, just start your number one draft pick and don't get cute. So I do have a tendency to get cute, but I do love those dumpster dives based purely on the fact that I love a good bargain.
Yeah.
All right.
And so you mentioned one already. We got week 7 coming in. I mean, geez, we're like halfway through the fantasy season already. So it's insane.
Damian Ratley is one of them.
So, and if you don't know who Damian Ratley is, he's a wide receiver for the Browns.
You're not a Browns
fan.
Came
in last week when Rashad Higgins got hurt, and he put up a decent PPR line.
Yeah.
And now the Browns are going to Tampa Bay, where fantasy points are plentiful, especially for wide receivers.
Sure.
So that is one of your dumpster dives.
Damian is definitely, I'm going to start him in all of my leagues. I love it. Also, listen, I'm a little weird in the sense that I'm weirdly a Browns fan. I've never been to the land.
You've never been to Cleveland.
No, here's
never
the truth
been
of
to the land.
Jerry's actually a Giants fan who has just given up after last week's loss. So he's jumped on the Cleveland bandwagon.
It's fun to see a young quarterback. I love them. Yeah. Another dumpster dive I have. I love talking this guy.
Okay.
Marlon Mack.
All right, running back for the Colts. All right.
He's going to be available in everyone's leagues. I think he's going to start to have double digit. I think he's going to potentially start to score 15 points a week.
Wow. So you're on the Jim Irsay. He's going to have 1,500 scrimmage yards season. I don't know about that.
He had a very sneaky, like, 85 or so yards last week. I mean, he just kind of came out of nowhere.
This guy here, you know, this is the guru of garbage right now.
That said,
I am not going to go against what he says.
That said, by the way, dumpster dive, I think that's got a negative connotation.
Right.
But why don't we call them
bargain hunting?
Yeah, bargain hunting. That even has, I feel like I'm going to the 99 cents. diamonds in the rough.
Okay. There you go.
All right.
Oh, no. And I want to say, listen, no one should do what I'm doing. I'm having a really bad fantasy season.
Okay.
And I got to say, emotionally, it's been difficult for me. I've really had to realize there are bigger problems in the world than me losing by 2 points in my fantasy league.
But you know what? On a Sunday, that is all true, on a Sunday or Monday afternoon, like, for at least a half hour, that's all that kind of matters, though, right?
I know, but, you know, I mean, because Woods didn't score 15 points in the Rams game, I mean, should it affect my week? It shouldn't. And I've really, having a losing team this year, and by the way, everything has gone wrong. I started Quincy Enunwa last week, and he was out in the first quarter. I started Deshaun Watson last week, and he only got me 5. I mean, like, everything. I started Ryan. Finally, I was like, you know what? I'm jumping on this Ryan Fitzpatrick train. That's it. He's going to score me 30 points. And that's when he got pulled halfway through. It's just like everything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong this season. And I'm just desperately trying to stay out of last place because in one particular league, there is a punishment for coming in. I know we don't like to talk about stakes and all that stuff here at NFL, but there is a punishment in one of my leagues for coming in last place.
Can we say, do we know what it is?
Yeah. I mean, I don't
want to mention it. Like, we don't mention
stakes.
We're
not going to see Jerry O'Connell on TMZ walking down Hollywood Boulevard in nothing but a sign that says, I suck at fantasy football.
There is a punishment.
I hope.
I don't want to offend anyone here at the league. There is a punishment, and it involves public nudity.
Oh, okay. Dear
and
Lord.
I cannot. No, I'm kidding. It's private nudity. No, but I really am trying. Now I'm just trying to stay out. Speaking of dumpster diving, I'm trying to stay away from the bottom. I just need a couple of wins this season to
All
do
right.
it. So now I'm just going for that fifth draft pick.
So,
I don't need that number one draft pick.
So when you're playing in leagues, I mean, you and I have made a couple of trades through the years, but do you typically avoid making trades and you try to build your team up through the waiver wire? What's your strategy?
This is terrible. This is, by the way, don't do as I do because I am the bottom. I don't trade nearly enough. Mm-hmm. I always think that someone is trying to get one.
Let me look at your roster here, Jerry.
Someone's always trying to get one over on me on a trade.
Now, I would never do that to a friend.
I always think that I'm losing something in a trade. So I'm more of a, and as I told you before, I am a bargain hunter. So I always think I'm going to find, I'm going to find that, you know, listen, I went in heavy on Dorsett week one. I blew all my waiver money on Dorsett. That
Oof.
Was, mm-hmm. that Oof. Was a mistake. You know, I thought for sure, I was like, here we go. Tom Brady found his guy. He's got that Deion Branch thing going on with him where he's just giving him like head, like winks and stuff. And they know exactly, and they're on the same page. And that you know, now that Gordon's there and everybody's clicking in New England, he just happens to be clicking with everyone but Phil Dorsett.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Marcus, here's Jerry's lineup.
Okay. All right.
The wide receivers start off very well.
The wide receivers, I mean, with Julio Jones and
Odell. OBJ, and then it all kinds of falls apart there.
I mean, well, look, the good news is you will probably get Evan Engram back this week, so that helps your tight end spot.
Yep.
The Jaguars, I just don't feel like they can't be as bad defensively this week as they were last week.
What happened last week? I actually heard you talking about Dak in the Fantasy Football Live show. What was that? Are we supposed to jump on the Cowboys? And I know, like, Fabiano's getting all excited right now.
I'm not, because I know what we are on the road.
I don't know. I think this is
Dak back? Are we supposed to?
I don't
think
he's back, but I think this week is another potentially good week for him. I think, you know, I think it's going to be up and down. It's like, I don't know if you want to ride the Dak roller coaster. I'm not sure.
No.
So,
listen,
running
as a Cowboys fan, I want nothing to do with it. Anyways, but so Alfred Morris is on your roster. After what happened last week, Alfred Morris should never be on another fantasy football roster as long as he lives.
Here's the thing, though.
It's not his fault, but he killed a lot of people last week,
but
man.
The crazy thing about that is, and, you know, because I think everybody was trying to figure out who on earth is Raheem Mostert after last week.
Yep.
I think we may be full on. We have a full blown case of Shanahanigans again. Kyle Shanahan is taking over from his dad, because the reports out of San Francisco this week were that, well, you know, this was maybe potentially a 1 week thing. It's just that Mostert seemed to fit better with what we wanted to do. That doesn't mean Alfred Morris is dead.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, we are talking about the 49ers ground game.
Yes,
because
correct.
This is, I believe this is a first in a couple of years we've been talking about the 49ers ground
and,
game.
And Mostert, I mean, he is dumpster dive gold for you, I would think.
Gold.
No?
I don't believe he's even available in my league anymore.
Come on.
I was too late. I was too late on that on that train.
He was kind of the new hotness after what he did against the Packers last week.
And I blew all of my waiver wire money on Disley, the tight end. Stay away from me, everybody.
It makes you feel bad. I didn't blow all of my waiver money on him, but I did go out and get Will Disley in a week. And I think I got him the week he got hurt. So, like, I played him, and I got, like, one catch. That was it. I feel your pain.
Talking of the tight end position, you want to talk about a dumpster fire. I mean, that whole position that's the Jerry O'Connell position this season. After you get past, you know, the elite guys like the Ertz's and the Gronks and the Kelce's, I mean, Jared Cook's even been a guy that people are starting week in and week out. And that guy, I mean, you can't trust him as far as you could throw him. Do you have any dumpster dive tight ends this week? Don't give me Jeff Swaim, because I'm a Cowboys fan and you know that I have a soft spot for him. I'm not going to play him. But do you have a dumpster dive at tight end this week?
Look, tight ends are some of my favorite positions, because there's a good shot of you getting 6 points in the end zone. They're just end zone monsters. This is a deep. Now, by the way, this is like, this is not one of my diamonds in the rough.
I love the prefaces, because I'm really, like, I can't really wait to see
it. I can't really stand by this. I mean, I know I've come by and, like, really, like, put all my money on Javorski Lane Butterball. That was his nickname. I didn't make that up. That was his nickname on Hard Knocks. But I do like that tight end Chris Herndon
from the Jets.
I do think the Jets are sort of, you know, there's a young quarterback, so they're kind of fun to watch, because you're watching someone learn the game and there's going to be excitement and there's newness there. So it's a fun team to watch. And I just think he's going to rely on his tight ends a little bit. And, you know, I think Herndon is going to be his guy this weekend. And Quincy Enunwa is not playing.
So that's someone
who's a receiver who sort of plays in sort of a tight end-ish position. Chris Herndon, I can't stand by it. If you are in bye week, if you can't start your Jesse James or your McDonald's, or
that's how bad it's gotten.
You know, this is someone who you can maybe reach for.
So, you know, I write start him and sit him every week.
Yeah.
Herndon is one of my sleepers.
Yeah, he is, man. I love it.
Yeah. Dude.
Did you just decide that sitting next to me?
No,
hearing
it's
the
in
wisdom
there right
that's
now.
Coming out
yeah.
of my mouth.
But it's some kind of like cosmic inspiration that came from you. Knowing that you were going to be in this week, Chris Herndon did make
the list. Look, I do have a weird thing also. You got to sit down and watch these games if you're starting them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Jets, borderline going to be fun, you know, with Darnold throwing. You know, you can start Sammy Watkins, who I know has had some tough weeks in the last couple weeks.
Yep.
But you get to watch a Chiefs game, you know. I mean, I'm also a little bit for the entertainment value of it, you know. Yep. some teams are just a little more boring to watch. You know, I'm not going to name them. I don't want to upset. I don't want any Twitter hate.
Tennessee Titans, number one.
Listen, that's at the top of the list.
Listen.
I don't want any Twitter hate. All teams are talented and everything, but some teams are just not as electrifying.
Teams are just not fun to
watch.
Than
others. And, you know, watching Patrick Mahomes or even Darnold or even Mayfield throw out there, they're fun people to watch.
Okay, so you're playing the Miz this week in our NFL Celebrity League, and I think Mike is like, I think he's 5-1.
He's really good. I mean, it's amazing but how his good-looking, muscular, and good at fantasy football. You know, and not good at
Mike is like one of my best buds. I love him, but I mean, every single thing that you want, good-looking guy. Right? Great physique. He's married to a beautiful woman, has a beautiful baby.
Yeah.
He's rich. He's famous. He's a WWE superstar.
And
he's got everything. He's got everything. But you know what he doesn't have? A win over me this season.
Oh, really?
That's all I got on him.
Are you his 1L?
I am his 1L. I haven't lost in that league, and I'm 2-0 against him this year.
Wow.
Yeah. So I gave him the skull-crushing finale fantasy football style so far this season.
That's so amazing. You were one of the few people in the world that can get in Mike the Miz's face and go, I own you.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. And hopefully he won't give me any kind of clothesline in return.
Yeah, this season has really been dealing with losing in fantasy and how to not let it emotionally affect me for 5 days. By the way, my children can tell when I've lost in fantasy.
Oh, no.
I'll go out to dinner with them and they'll be like, Dad, did you lose in fantasy? Like, they can tell just from my demeanor. It really affects me. It really, and like, there are no, by the way, I searched this. There are no forums out there for like people who've lost by 2 points.
You need to start one.
We start a support group.
Yeah, I know.
An online support group.
Like people who lost by 2 points, like just come here and just sound off.
Right.
I do want to say for the record, I did ask fantasy football master Michael Fabiano about Will Disley, like week one, I was like, is this guy for real? And Fabs was like, no, don't touch him. I wouldn't touch him at all. I wouldn't touch him. And I was like, hey, why are you so harsh on Will Disley? And then Fabs finally admitted, because I lost by 2 points because that garbage touchdown in the fourth
yeah,
quarter.
Man.
But Fabs, you were absolutely right. I should not have spent $99 on him. That was a mistake.
It looked bad before he got hurt, but I mean, it's Will Disley. Like that was, people ask me, it's Will Disley. It's, you know, I just couldn't advise people to play him. I just couldn't do it.
You know what? I've usually been a receiver. I've loved in terms of we're going to change the dumpster dive term. I don't want to offend anyone. Diamonds in the rough, right? Diamonds in the rough. I've sort of shied away from receiving running backs this season for some weird reason. I don't know. Like, is that like
that's a thing.
Is that a trend that hasn't been happening?
You want to go after those guys.
Well, I used to. I mean, listen, Theo Riddick was my guy for a couple of years there. I think he's still sitting. I mean, I'm still that guy who drafts him in the sixth round.
He hasn't been as good.
But I wonder if it's like a theme that they just like maybe offenses aren't using receiving running backs.
No, they are. I mean, the way that the game is going, they're throwing the ball so much. I mean, guys like James White. I mean, James White, if you drafted him this year, that's been absolute good. Saquon Barkley.
Right.
I mean, in a standard scoring league, he's good, but in PPR, he's like ridiculous.
Well, I know.
He's like ridiculous.
I mean, I don't have him. I didn't have that high of a draft pick. How is Kamara doing this season?
Good.
He's Alvin Kamara.
He was averaging about 33 a game in PPR, and then the pre-bye week game against Washington happened where he didn't get a lot of touches, and the whole fantasy world went nuts.
everyone
Mark
panicked.
Mark Ingram came back. Kamara didn't get a lot of burn. Everyone went insane over that week, but he's been very good too. And I get it. There's like this. There's a lot of people out there. I know Marcus is included. That is like, I'm not drafting running backs anymore in the first round. I mean, okay, there's been some busts, but Barkley and Gurley.
Right.
Gordon and Kamara and Zeke. I mean, you know, Kareem Hunt. I mean, there's still been some pretty darn good running back performances.
Yeah, I mean, good. I mean, look, it's an exaggeration, but, you know, it's the frustration of seeing a lot of these guys kind of go sideways. And you talk about, like, I mean, Gordon was a second-round guy in a lot of leagues. Hunt was a second-round guy in a lot of leagues. So,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's the fragility of running backs. It's frustrating.
So before we let you go, let's talk about your new show, Carter.
I'm on a show called Carter. Yep. It's on WGN America. Super funny. I play a guy who plays a cop on TV who moves back to his small hometown, who tells the police how they should solve crimes because they tell you what to be. It's cute. It's a lot like Castle, but you know, Castle was a mystery writer. I'm a TV star who's telling them. It's a really fun show. And
so you're a TV star playing a TV star playing a cop.
Yeah, I had to do no research at all. I just had to like look at myself. I had to look at my own life.
Now,
which was kind of disturbing.
But have you gone down to the Detective Bureau of the LAPD? And
I did.
And
you know,
sort of
you
offered your services or what?
No, but I've done a couple ride-alongs.
And have you?
Yeah. I figured out quickly I could never be a police officer. I didn't get out of that car at all. I was very afraid.
See anything weird?
Yeah, saw a couple arrests. I had to ride in the back when they arrested someone because that's where I was sitting.
I was going to ask about that. Yeah,
like you rode in the back with the criminals.
There's no room up front.
Everyone was super. Listen, trust me, I wanted to go in the front. They were like, there's no room up
there's
here.
No
and
room
I was
up
like,
front.
Don't make me sit back here, please.
I mean, they're at least handcuffed, right?
They were handcuffed, thank goodness.
I know. Well, I mean, the guy could still throw a headbutt at you if he's nuts.
The weird thing is they were handcuffed to me, though. I don't know. What is
this? that's the punishment?
Yeah. No, it was, man, just full respect to all officers of the law. I don't know how they
Yeah, man.
I was freaking out.
That's great. Where can people see it?
It's on WGN America.
Awesome.
Cool.
And then you've got a project on Bravo also?
Yeah, super fun show called
Dude,
Bravo.
You're all over the place.
This
I
week.
Love it.
Bravo's play-by-play. Let me tell you, Bravo's play-by-play, it's four of us. We sit around. We talk about everything that happened on Bravo that week. Mm-hmm. It's just like Fantasy Football Live, but instead of talking about Kamara and Drew Brees and whether Gronk is going to have a 15-point week, we talk about all the housewives. It's
which is a sport in and of itself. So
yeah, it was really fun.
Oh, man, it's fantastic. Hey, Jerry, appreciate you stopping by. Best of luck. Stay out of last place, man. We don't want to have to see you on TMZ doing anything.
Let me help you with untoward. The Miz this week. I'll help you out.
Yeah, please. Let me tell you, great thing about having Michael as your friend, you can send him a link and a password, and he will set
He'll
your
set
lineup.
Your lineup.
Oh. Social media, send him help. Send him your password.
At Michael's underscore Fabiano.
All right.
Onto it.
Send him your login, but careful, he might go through your emails just a little bit.
Jerry, appreciate you hanging out with us, man. Hopefully we can do it again at some point.
Love you guys.
All right, awesome. G Suite is a suite of cloud-based productivity tools that includes Gmail, Docs, Slides, Sheets, and Drive. And these tools will improve your work life, both in terms of your experience and the outputs you create. Hence their new campaign, Make It With G Suite. You know when you have 20 identical versions of a document labeled final and no clue which is the latest? So then you make another version. You call that one final. I mean, you've been there, right? So, well, with G Suite by Google Cloud, a range of work apps like Gmail, Docs, and Slides lets you make real-time updates to the same document without having to keep track of version after version of a project. And since all the tools are cloud-based, your whole team can access the same document and work on the same page at the same time. To find out more about G Suite's productivity tools, visit gsuite.com. That's gsuite.com. Make it with G Suite by Google Cloud. So thanks to Jerry O'Connell for stopping by.
Always fun.
Best of luck on his fantasy teams. I hope he doesn't have to, you know, strip nude or whatever. And
yeah. That's a bad, I mean, you know, TMZ is all over that.
Oh, of course.
I mean, you know, if it's January and all of a sudden a TMZ update pops up on my Twitter and Jerry's name is attached to it,
I will claim no knowledge. I will disavow any knowledge of it.
I know what it is.
So I have no idea where that came from, how that happened. So in the meantime, we will take you through week 7. Of course, there are 4 teams on a bye, so a few less games this week, but we will start in London, Titans at Chargers. Now, a word of caution, because last week's London game started in one of the normal NFL windows. It was a 1 p.m. Eastern start, a 10 a.m. On the Pacific Coast start. This is not the case. This week's game, Titans at Chargers, is a 9:30 a.m. Eastern time start. That means for the folks on the West Coast, it is a 6:30 in the morning start. So now, I mean, if you want to get up early and set your lineup, kudos, more power to you. Mm-hmm. For the rest of you, get your stuff set on Saturday night before you go to bed so you don't get stuck either, you know, with somebody in your lineup you didn't want or have somebody sitting on your bench that you wanted to start. Make sure you get that done early.
Yeah, and let me give you one piece of advice that's going to make your life a lot easier. Don't start any Titans.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Just don't start them.
I was going to say, I mean, what?
Don't start them.
What even is the Titans offense?
They're averaging one offensive touchdown a game. Now, that doesn't help you in reality. It doesn't help you in fantasy. It doesn't help you, Marcus. I'm not playing any of those guys. None of them. You know, I could help it.
What was it, last year, the year before, when they were talking about exotic Smash Mouth?
What is this? This is exotic barf mouth.
I saw somebody on Twitter call it anemic Smash Mouth. That's what it is.
Dude.
Oh, that, you know, and I thought maybe this is the year Marcus Mariota kind of makes the leap and everybody comes with him, but it hasn't happened.
No.
You know, admittedly, they've had some tough defensive matchups, but their offenses look just awful. So, yeah, kind of avoid them this week. On the other side, we've talked a lot about Julio Jones and his lack of touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Keenan Allen hasn't really scored that many more touchdowns this year.
And if you look at his output in standard leagues, it's not very good.
It's not great.
That's why I don't play standard. But PPR leagues, I mean, he's still getting his targets. He's still getting his catches. It would be nice to see him get into the end zone. And it's odd that he hasn't, because Phillip Rivers has such a good start to the season through 6 weeks that you would think, as Rivers succeeds, so does Allen.
Not so much.
But that has not been the case. We're not telling you to bench Keenan Allen by any stretch of the imagination. The matchup's not great this week, but you do have four teams on a bye, and unless you're ridiculously deep at wide receiver, you still have to play him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it has been the Melvin Gordon year. He's scoring all the touchdowns this season, so that's kind of taken away from Keenan Allen. But you're right. The opportunity has been great. The target share has been great, and so it's just hard to fade him at any point. Texans at Jaguars. You know, week one, Deshaun Watson came out, had a bad game, and we all sort of like, okay, wait, let's keep an eye on this. How is this going to go? And then he kind of bounced back, and he was hot for a few weeks in a row. Then last week put up a terrible number.
Yeah, 5.3.
Played with some decent-sized injuries. I mean, maybe a cracked rib, maybe some lung issues. And now this week he's on the road against a Jaguars team that got embarrassed last week by the Cowboys.
They're going to be full
salty.
Of, as Akbar would say, pistivity.
Yes, yes.
Full of pistivity, yes, because my beloved Dallas Cowboys gave him a thumping last week. But the Jaguars defense is one that scares me this week. There's not a lot of Texans I would start, including Deshaun Watson. And if you look at the numbers dating back to last year, this defense has allowed just one quarterback to score more than 16.5 fantasy points against them at home. I believe that was Russell Wilson, but they have not. And they have not been generous to quarterbacks on their home field. So I know Dak ripped them last week. So much fun to say that as a Cowboys fan. I know Dak Prescott ripped the Jaguars last week. That was a road game. That was last week. This is this week. Watson's a risk for me.
Yeah, I want to believe, but I just right now the way things are looking in that offense, the fact that he's always under pressure, the fact that he's holding the football a long time, those are bad combinations against the Jaguars.
And he's banged up, man. I mean, he's just banged up. That guy. He's been getting a beating behind that offensive line.
Yeah, it's been
unfortunately.
Leonard Fournette may come back this week.
I hadn't practiced yet.
He missed practice on Wednesday. I think he missed practice again on Thursday. So it's, you know, they've been kind of hinting that maybe he'd come back, but then maybe not. I mean, there's certainly talk that he might not be back until like week 10.
Let him get well.
What do you do with him?
Well, I mean, I don't
you
know that
you can't
he's
really trade him.
I mean, I don't know that you can play him this week. Even if he does come back, we'll see. I mean, the Texans defense has been pretty good against running backs. So if he gets a clean bill of health, like suddenly, okay, but I don't know that he's playing this week. So I don't think you're going to have to even make that decision at this point. So you'll likely be looking at TJ Yeldon, who's a little bit banged up as well. But, and the Jaguars, you know, we talk about the Texans not having a whole lot to like this week. You know, Kiki QT, maybe if you're desperate, you know, because he plays the slot and the Jaguars have really struggled against slot receivers, Cole Beasley, Chris Hogan earlier this season. But I mean, I'm not starting Bortles. Yeldon's going to be in there for me. I guess their best wide receiver option this week would probably be Didi Westbrook, because the Texans have given up some points to slot receivers this season.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I mean, you know, Jags defense. Texans defense could be a play too, because if Fournette is out, which we kind of expect, then Bortles, he kind of likes to turn the ball over a little bit.
That's part of his DNA, apparently. Mm-hmm. So that's one of you. Just the Jaguars, they had a couple of weeks where you thought maybe their offense is you know, going to be something, and then they go back to being the Jaguars again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sort of
Bortles is what he is, dude. He's a guy who will show flashes of brilliance like he did against the Patriots, and then he'll show flashes of stinkiness,
right?
Awfulness, whatever.
Ungoodness.
Ungoodness like he did against Kansas City.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, obviously we know you can't count on Bortles, and he kind of, you know, the rest of the offense rises or falls on his performance on a week.
They need Fournette. They need, this is a ground and pound team, man. They need Fournette back. So maybe that's what they're doing. Let him get healthy and give him a workload down the stretch because they're going to need him.
I mean, on the field in the AFC South, it's not like anybody's going to run away with the division.
Yeah, this is true.
Panthers at Eagles. Devin Funchess, yay or nay? How are we feeling about Devin Funchess right now?
I mean, I have him ranked in the area where you could potentially flex him.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the Eagles defense, you look at the numbers, the Eagles defense is tough at home. I mean, they're tough at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned this on TV where this season they gave up 9 points to Matt Ryan at home. I believe they gave up 14 to Kirk Cousins at home. This is a tough defense when they're in Philadelphia. So, Funchess is on he's on the wrong side of a 50-50 start for me. And Cam Newton, you probably have to play him with four teams off. But don't be surprised if the stat line is less than stellar. And I don't even love Greg Olsen this week either because of what the Eagles have done against tight ends so far this season.
Yeah, I'm curious about Greg Olsen just to see if he is going to bounce back. I mean, you know, he's a guy, obviously he's an older player near the end of his career, coming off of, you know, some foot issues. You know, there's always a chance he just doesn't really bounce back. I mean, we saw that with Antonio Gates.
Yeah, that he's never really the guy who, I mean, and heck, you know, Olsen, before that ailment, I mean, he's been, he was one of the better and most consistent tight ends in fantasy football. You know, Olsen going to do most of his work out of the slot, and the Eagles have only given up 391 yards to slot receivers, and Olsen's there 61% of the time. So I would just beware Olsen. Probably got to play him. You might want to temper your expectations.
On the flip side, Corey Clement versus Wendell Smallwood. I mean, those are the two guys leading the way in the backfield. And, you know, it's, I think everybody kind of has their own opinion on which guy is the one. The battle continues. Are you still planting your flag with Corey Clement side?
Yep, I am. Okay. Regardless of who the starter is, I think Clement is just the better playmaker. And we know that Deuce Staley loves him. Cynthia Freeland knows Deuce, has talked to him about Clement, and he raved about him back in the preseason. And Clement came out and said, we don't need a running back.
We don't need another stinking running back.
We don't need LeSean McCoy. We've got running backs here. So let him go out and prove it. And I think he is a RB2 / flex play this week. I think the best play in Philadelphia, that's not Carson Wentz, because obviously Carson Wentz is back.
Right.
And look at the numbers he's putting up. I mean, same thing with Andrew Luck. He's back. Like, if we need to tell you to start these guys, unless you have Patrick Mahomes or another elite quarterback, well, I mean, you know, you may want to pick another hobby to start. But I like Alshon Jeffrey a lot in this game, too. I really do. Alshon, who has put up two monster numbers in his first three games back, and clearly, outside of Zach Ertz, Wentz loves throwing the football to Alshon Jeffrey. And, you know, the Panthers defense, they're giving up 11 catches a game. They've given up 5 touchdowns. They're giving up the third most PPR points to wide receivers who are split out wide. And Jeffrey's there around 70% of the time. So he is a very strong play.
Yeah, I do like Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, he's starting to pick it up again. He had that first week, but he's been a lot better since then. Vikings at the Jets. The Vikings defense has underwhelmed. They have not been what we thought. And, you know, look, Sam Darnold has had his ups and downs. He's had a couple of decent games. He's had some kind of not so great games. You would think in the past a defense like the Vikings would be able to harass a young quarterback, force him into some mistakes, but how much do you trust this defense right now?
I have them ranked in my top 10.
Okay.
But they have burned me before. And what is the big, glaring example of that?
Bills.
On their home field, Josh Allen had a career game. I get it, short career, but it was a career game. It'll be the best game he's had from a fantasy perspective all season long, assuming he comes back at some point. So do I trust the Vikings defense? No. But the matchup warrants at least a streamable option. And I'm going to get to another defense a little bit later that I want you to talk about. But I do believe the Vikings will be streamable. and a potential top 10 defense because, you know, as good as Sam Darnold has looked over the last couple of weeks, still a rookie quarterback, and with the bye weeks and with some of the matchups, and you look at some of these teams, some of the best defenses in fantasy football have really bad matchups this week. So the Vikings are viable for sure.
That's true. But this is where we are. We're talking about the Vikings as a streamable defense as opposed to
and
last,
what's weird is
last
like,
year. Like, just start.
Yeah, dude. I mean, but defenses year to year, this is what can happen.
Absolutely. The Jets don't have a whole lot of healthy wide receivers right now. So are you locking in Jermaine Kearse if you got him?
I dig him. You know, like, I basically got up on the mountaintop and screamed and yelled, start Chester Rogers, start Chester Rogers. And he was pretty good. Now I'm going to get up on that mountaintop again, Marcus, and I'm going to say, start Jermaine Kearse. Start Jermaine Kearse. Quincy Enunwa is hurt. All the Jets wide receivers are on their injury report this week. Whether or not they play, you have to keep tabs on that. The Vikings have allowed the fourth most yards, five touchdowns to slot receivers. Quarterbacks have a 114.2 passer rating when targeting slot receivers against the Vikings. And guess what Sam Darnold likes to do?
He loves the slot guy.
He loves throwing to Quincy Enunwa, who's now out. Jermaine Kearse picks up the slack there. And if you guys remember, last season, there was a point in time where Jermaine Kearse was a pretty startable option. He was pretty good.
Yep.
And he had come into the season a little bit banged up and sort of became an afterthought. But now he's pushed back to the forefront, and I do like him in PPR leagues.
Yeah, I think he's a sneaky pick. I mean, we've been trying to figure out – I won't say figure out the Jets receivers, because I think we figured out early it was Quincy Enunwa when he was there and healthy. Robbie Anderson had his 1 week, which – maybe he's not going to come back again. Who knows? But, you know.
And he's banged up, too.
He's banged up, too. So Jermaine Kearse seems like the play. It's just weird to think that you would start a Jets receiver against the Vikings. Like, that was something back in August.
This is the world we live in, though. Like,
imagine we'd say that.
They're not good against slot receivers, man.
They just aren't. Patriots at the Bears. Is there something wrong with Gronk? I mean, he's had some decent games, but he has not had, like, one of those just flat out Gronk type games where he just mashes and he puts up like 25 points and catches a couple. I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's not 100% healthy. I don't know if it's just that they've changed this offense a little bit, but Gronk has not been Gronkish this year.
He's got one touchdown and you know, he's not getting as many red zone opportunities as you would think. And here's a little stat to prove that fantasy football is ridiculously unpredictable at times. If I came to you, Marcus Grant, and I said that after 6 weeks of NFL action, there would be a tight end who has six touchdowns, okay? And that six touchdowns is far and away more than any other tight end in the National Football League. After 6 weeks, you would have told me that tight end's name was?
Probably Gronk. Gronk or Kelsey. Those would have been my top two guesses.
It's Eric freaking Ebron.
Yeah.
It's Eric Ebron. And I drafted Jack Doyle in a bunch of leagues, and that was one of my touchdowns.
I drafted Jack Doyle thinking, like, I'm not worried about Eric Ebron. Like, it's Eric Ebron. Like, whatever.
So you're playing Gronk, obviously. There's no question about that. Are you playing Tom Brady against the Bears? I probably
would.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's one of those things. It's one of those things where if you play Brady and he has a bad game, you're kind of like, oh, that sucks. Like, it happens. Congrats to the Bears. If you sit Brady and he goes off, then you're mad at yourself. You're like, why did I do that?
And I think people now, so the Bears, and again, home and road matters, but the Bears are giving up 12 points a game to quarterbacks at home this season. They've only allowed one quarterback to score more than 18 points against them at home since the start of last season, and that was Matthew Stafford, and he had 18.3. But I feel like this isn't being discussed because the Bears just got Brock Osweiler last week.
Yep.
That was a road game. Maybe they're a little salty. We'll see what happens. I say yes, you stick with Tom Brady. But this is one of those tougher matchups that I had talked about earlier in the show among some of these elite quarterbacks. So the question I want to ask you, though, is, and I've been racking my brain with this one, Bears defense, best defense in fantasy football, right? I mean, before last week, heck, anybody who had the Bears defense last week, I mean, was frothing at the mouth at the thought of the Bears playing against Brock Osweiler. They ended up with 5 points.
Right.
Okay, it was not that good. They're still the second highest scoring defense in fantasy football behind the Jets, believe it or not. But do you start the Bears? And if you wouldn't start the Bears, would you start the Colts over them?
Yeah, I think I would stay away from the Bears this week.
See, it's a tough decision.
Just because the Patriots, they're rolling. I mean, this always happens, right? We get to October and they just start rolling along and they've got all their guys healthy and, you know, they got this two-headed monster in the backfield and Edelman's back and Gordon's there. And we all know at some point Gronk is going to Gronk on everybody. So, like, yeah, I think I would stay away from the Bears. It's one of those where, like, I would sit the Bears, I'd put the Colts in, and I'd feel gross about it, and yep. I'll come back on Monday and be like, I should have started the Bears.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I did so. I did that, and I actually picked up the Lions, and I am sitting the Bears. Don't drop the Bears.
Don't drop them.
Because the Bears' defense over the next couple of weeks, and we say this, you know, assuming they don't turn to trash after the Brock Osweiler incident, which is going to be known for me, because they have the Jets, and then they're at Buffalo yep. in their next two games. So don't drop the Bears. You don't have to play them if you don't like the matchup. If there's a streamable option out there, go out and get it. But the Bears defense is not, it's not a defense that you just cut ties with. Let's put it that way. They are the Jags of 2018.
Right. Is Mitch Trubisky for real? I mean, is what we've seen from him the last couple of weeks, was this some sort of like really great hiccup, or is there, has he figured something out?
So admittedly, I was not on the bandwagon, not that I am now, but I mean, you throw six touchdowns at home against the Buccaneers.
I mean, that's one thing.
I mean, you know, the Buccaneers defense is, you know, they just fired their DC. But then he went to Miami, and Miami defense a little banged up, but they were still pretty good, especially on their home field, and he had three touchdowns. So is he a streamable option this week against the Patriots? I do believe he is. I really do.
I mean, I think so because, you know, partially part of what has made him successful is not having a lot of pressure to deal with. The O-line has protected him very well.
Yep.
The Patriots just don't get pressure on anybody.
And I'm not telling you, like, you know, Jameis is a better option. I think Andy Dalton's a better option.
Right.
But Flacco's right there, too. But, I mean, Trubisky's, you know, if you're streaming quarterbacks, he is certainly, based on the matchup and based on what he's done in his last two games, I mean, he's in the conversation for sure.
Yeah. Bills at Colts. We talked a little bit about Derek Anderson yep. during the news segment. I mean, there are no Bills you're starting, right? I mean,
yeah, maybe I'm Sheldon McCoy.
So shady? Okay.
So, and in the last couple of weeks, and I get it, you know, I've been saying, like, if his ceiling is 12 PPR points, that's not very good. But when you're in a situation where you've got bye weeks and the matchup is good, right? I mean, the problem is McCoy's floor has been kind of low.
Yes.
And his ceiling hasn't been that great so far.
Nope.
But, I mean, he's seeing 70%, 74% of the snaps, at least 19 touchdowns in his last two games. And the Colts have given up an average of 146 scrimmage yards and 25.4 PPR points to running backs this season. And if the Bills are going to have any chance in this game, because Andrew Luck and his offense, it's rolling, and they may be getting T.Y. back, they've got to run McCoy. And I say, and it's weird too, because I put McCoy in stardom and sit him as a stardom. And it's probably the first time I've actually been able to put McCoy as a start in this column without sounding like a moron for a long, long time. But people are down on him, and rightly so. He hasn't done much this season, but I do think he is an RB2 this week.
Can you trust a Colts receiver? I mean, I guess now that T.Y. Hilton's coming back, I guess it feels a little bit better. But I just, you know, Chester Rogers had been good, not great.
He's been pretty good, man.
You know, Ryan Grant had been banged up. But I guess now that T.Y. Hilton's back, like, things look a little better there.
Yeah, I mean, Chester Rogers, I'd say, is a flex in a PPR league, or if you're in one of these leagues that has two flex starts like we have. Because the Bills, Tre'Davious White is tremendous, but you can beat them with your slot receiver. So Rodgers, I still think, is in the mix. I like Jermaine Kearse more this week, but he's still in the mix. And like Eric Ebron's a must start. It's crazy.
This is where we are now.
I mean, unless you have Kelce, or if you have, you know, Gronk or even Ertz, you know, that's it. But like after that, it's freaking Eric Ebron. It's Eric Ebron.
Eric Ebron.
It's insane, man. Like, where was this in Detroit? The Lions got to be.
That's what Lions
back,
fans want.
Watching
know.
This game and being like, "What the hell, Ebron? Like, where was this when we had you for the last, you know, several years of your career?"
I mean, look, as a 49er fan, this is how we felt about Delanie Walker. I mean, Delanie Walker in San Francisco couldn't catch a cold.
But I mean, he had Vernon Davis there as well, right?
True. But when Delanie Walker got on the field, he dropped passes left and right. And then he goes to Tennessee and becomes a stud. It's like, where was this?
Thanks, dude.
Where was this? Browns at Bucks. This could be a sneakily high scoring game this week.
Yep.
Okay, so what is stronger? The Bucks defense or Antonio Callaway's drops all the time? Like, which wins out here?
Dude, I don't know, man. Like, maybe we're looking at Ratley, right? J.O. had said
Ratley.
If Ratley comes out and has a big game, I mean, J.O.
I'll let him host this podcast.
He should be a regular contributor to NFL Fantasy Live podcast, because that would be a heck of a call, but the matchup is right. Hey, the one guy that I feel like people may be a little bit soured on is Jarvis Landry. He is wide receiver 63 in the last 2 weeks in PPR leagues, too. That's bad, dude.
That's bad.
That's bad. But play him. And I get it. You know, maybe it seems obvious to some out there. But I know a lot of people on Twitter were telling me that they've been frustrated with Landry.
Really frustrated.
And his lack of production. The Buccaneers are giving up more catches, more yards, more PPR points to slot receivers than any team in the league. And Landry's running like 73% of his routes out of the slot. So this is the get-right game for Jarvis Landry. And if you're trying to acquire him in a trade, do it now before this breakout happens.
Right, because when it happens,
not getting him.
You're at least you're going to have to give up a little more to go get him. On the flip side, Jameis Winston against the Browns defense. Which one wins out here?
I like Winston. I do. I mean, you know, I get it, the Browns. But you look at the numbers, like, home and road.
Because they're at home, yeah.
If they were at home, I don't know that I would like them as much. But on the road, I mean, Derek Carr had 31 on him, right? I mean, it was five quarters, but he still had a good game against him. And, you know, Jameis is somebody that I told people to pick up a week before he was eligible to come back, because Fitzpatrick wasn't going to keep that up.
Oh, we knew that.
I mean,
we all knew that.
We all knew that was going to happen. But here's the thing. The Buccaneers as a team and a roster are the perfect storm for fantasy points. Offense has got a lot of talent. Mike Evans, Sean Jackson, Chris Godwin. No running game either. And then their defense, well, we just mentioned. I mean, they fired their DC. They're not very good. So in an offense that's going to throw the ball a lot because their defense can't get anybody stopped, Jameis could end up being a top 10 fantasy quarterback the rest of the season.
That's wild. I mean, I guess it's not when you look at last year.
Yeah, he was good.
He finished last year.
Yeah, what do you? He had 13 starts, but he didn't finish two of them.
Right.
And in the games that he finished 11, he was top 10 six times. I mean, that's pretty good.
I just have such a blah view of Jameis Winston.
You hate
from
him.
Fantasy perspective.
You hate him.
He's so inconsistent. It's just such a roller coaster with Jameis on a week to week basis. It's like I get it.
But I mean, this week, dude. You know, I've got him in my top eight again. I had him in my top five last week. I got him in my top eight, and I'm playing him in a couple of leagues, including our league.
I mean, maybe because like you're pretty much guaranteed he's going to throw at least one pick.
Yeah, I mean, like you are gonna get, you know, turnovers with Jameis. I mean, it's just going to happen.
Yeah,
but much like last week, I mean, he gave you 31 points. So
all right, yeah. All right, let's go, Jameis. Lions.
Still don't sound confident.
I don't. Lions at Dolphins. Are we concerned about Marvin Jones yet? I mean, Kenny Galladay has been the new hotness. We know Golden Tate's going to get his. I mean, Marvin Jones has been fine, but I feel like the Lions look at Kenny Galladay and you're like, hey, you're a younger, more athletic, financially cheaper version of Marvin Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. He's third in the pecking order in terms of targets right now. Still seeing a good amount of snaps, but he's the guy out of those three that I would have the least faith in if I'm a fantasy owner. And, you know, the Dolphins have given up the seventh fewest catches, the ninth fewest PPR points, and just two touchdowns to receivers who are lined out wide this season. And clearly Marvin Jones is a guy that is lined out wide more often than not. So he's someone that I would fade this week. And, you know, people may come back at you and say, well, wait a minute. The Dolphins just got wrecked by Taylor Gabriel. You know what I mean?
But right.
Listen, the numbers is the numbers. And the Bears, they came out and offensively, they looked very good against the Dolphins. I get it. But I am just not a fan of Marvin Jones based on the fact that his target share has decreased with the emergence of Kenny Galladay. And another thing, too, is that I think this could be a Kerryon Johnson game.
I hope so.
The Dolphins defense is bad against the run. So this could be a game where, you know, Kerryon Johnson, not that he hasn't broken out because he was the first Lions running back to rush for 100 yards in a game since 2003 or whatever it was. But this is an opportunity for him to really sort of grab hold of that backfield and become the guy against a bad run defense.
I really hope this is a Kerryon Johnson week. I mean, I've just been like waiting for this to happen. So hopefully the Lions figure it out. You know, I know we've talked about Aaron Jones and the Packers. We've talked about some of these other running games where we just want one guy to emerge. I'm kind of hoping that that happens in Detroit, and I'm hoping it happens this week because the Dolphins, as you mentioned, bad against the run.
Yep.
Is this a? I feel like this is a Kenyon Drake bounce.
It is. So there are some weeks where we hate the Drake.
Right.
There are some weeks where we love the Drake, much like the Seinfeld episode.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a week to love the Drake. And the reason why is pretty simple. This is a great matchup for Drake. And I get it. He's losing touches to Frank Gore. And maybe Frank Gore is a sneaky flex starter this week. But, I mean, the Lions, they're giving up 257 scrimmage yards a game to running backs.
So bad.
They're giving up 38 PPR points per game to running backs. I mean, that's like giving out candy on Halloween. It's easy, right? I mean, it's so easy. But here's the thing. When Drake goes off, and I think he will this week based on what is a tremendous matchup, when he goes off, sell him. Because if you look at his schedule down the stretch in the fantasy playoffs, Patriots, at Minnesota, Jacksonville.
Not good.
Sell him high after he runs all over the line.
Well, especially because Frank Gore's not going away.
I mean, no, he's not.
Adam Gase has kind of made that clear, that Frank Gore's going to be a part of this offense pretty much for the rest of the season. So you just have to kind of prepare yourself for that. Let's see. Saints at Ravens. All right, so the last time we saw the New Orleans Saints, Mark Ingram got all these touches, and Alvin Kamara didn't get a whole lot of touches, and fantasy Twitter freaked the bleep out about what to do about Alvin Kamara. So I guess this is the part of the show where we reassure people that Alvin Kamara is still good at football and is still going to get opportunities, and maybe you shouldn't panic trade him away because he had one bad game.
Keep in mind that he had a pretty big workload the first four games. I mean, you know, the Saints backfield was basically Kamara, and that's it. So with Ingram back, with a bye week next up, I think it was pretty simple. I mean, Sean Payton, thanks for telling it. You could have told us. You know, he could have said something to us. You know, we're all watching. They rested him. And I think it's as simple as that. And if you look at the numbers last year when, you know, Kamara's, what, third in PPR among running backs, and Ingram's like sixth or seventh, there's enough to go around for these two to be successful. Now, with that being said, I think you have to temper your expectations and lower their ceilings a little bit this week because the Ravens defense is playing great right now.
Yes.
I mean, they just sacked. I think they just sacked Mariota again. I mean,
you got him, what, 11 times last week?
It's ridiculous. So don't be surprised if, you know, Kamara, and this was a guy who was averaging 33 points a game over the first 4 weeks. Don't be surprised if he's, you know, more in the 16 to 18 PPR point range this week, or if Mark Ingram is more in the 12 to 15. Still pretty good, not great. And that is where my next question comes.
Okay.
Drew Brees. Okay. I'll give you a little, some numbers on Drew Brees now. Brees, first of all, the Ravens have given up the second fewest points to quarterbacks this season. They're giving up 4 points a game to quarterbacks at home, but okay, I get it. Very small sample size. But this defense is going up against a quarterback who is one of the greatest ever, but he has scored fewer than 16 fantasy points in six of his last nine outdoor road games. Okay, you get him in Atlanta or in a dome, different story. Outdoors, he has not been as reliable, and he's got a tough matchup against the Ravens on the road, outdoors. Do you start Drew Brees?
I mean, I think there are other, like, I would start Andy Dalton over Drew Brees.
Okay. I think Goff over Drew Brees.
I would definitely
Brees.
Start Goff over
Winston over Drew Brees.
Probably Winston.
Obviously, Mahomes is going to start. Kirk Cousins is starting over Drew Brees. Matt Ryan starting over Drew Brees.
Okay, so now,
so, I mean, we got to, I mean, like Carson Wentz, Andrew Luck, I'd start him over Drew Brees.
Would you start Philip Rivers over Drew Brees?
Ooh.
Would you start Philip Rivers?
Now you got me. Now you got me. I'd go, oh, man, Eddie, this one's hard. Eddie, help me on this one. because it's a coin flip. Because they're, I mean, I guess I'd probably go Breeze just because, you know, the travel all the way to London. But
I was going to say Breeze because I'm going to steal a line from Damashek and say I'm a pedigree snob. And, and I think you just trust Breeze to make less mistakes maybe than a guy like Phil Rivers.
Yep. So I would go Breeze, but it's close. It's close. And see, and Marcus and I just named off, what, 8 or 9 quarterbacks we'd start ahead of Breeze. There's not 3 or 4 in the first, you know, 6 weeks of the season that we said we'd play over Breeze because he's been so good. And also something to watch. You've got 100% of Ingram. You got 100% of Kamara. Last year in that scenario, Drew Breeze was a mediocre fantasy quarterback. He was averaging 16 or 17 points per game. This year he's been gangbusters. Let's see what happens now.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one for Drew Breeze this week. Is this a good Flacco week?
I mean, the matchup's good.
It's a good Joe Flacco?
The matchup's good. Flacco's at home. I mean, the matchup signals streamable option this week. No question about that. So, you know, if you have Russell or if you have Ben, you know, Aaron Rodgers, and you're looking on the waiver wire for a guy, I mean, if Dalton's not out there, and Winston will be long gone, but Flacco is somebody to consider. I think Flacco's right in that level, in that tier with, like, Trubisky this week.
Mm-hmm. I really like John Brown this week, too. Yeah. I think he can beat the...
Even with Crabtree's reemergence last week?
Even with Crabtree's reemergence, you know, I don't know how consistent that's going to be. And I just think that, you know, Flacco, we know, likes to go deep. I think John Brown can beat the Saints' corners deep. We've seen that happen a few times this season. I think that's going to be a thing. Oh, by the way, didn't get to it. On the other side, Ted Ginn is on IR now. Ted Ginn went on IR. So... I see a lot of people saying, you know, I know
Traquan.
I like Traquan Smith. We saw him go big a couple weeks ago on Monday night against Washington.
Well, he's going to be in the record books.
Yes, because he caught the record-breaking pass from Drew Brees, which is funny because that was his first ever NFL touchdown, but he doesn't get to keep the ball.
That's not fair, dude.
That ball goes to Canton.
Yeah, dude.
That ball goes to Canton, Ohio, so he doesn't get to keep.
But you know what?
But he got a second one then.
If you're Traquan...
I think you're okay.
You don't complain about
that. You're okay with that.
You don't complain about that because that's the guy who's going to be throwing you the football.
Right. I think you're okay with that. You're catching it from a Hall of Famer, and you are still going in the history books.
Yep.
You know, your face and your name will always be attached to that.
Yep.
So
you're going to
be okay. Cowboys going to Washington, the rivalry there. I said on Fantasy Live, my big bold prediction was that Dak Prescott would be a top 3 quarterback for the second straight
week. You don't believe that for a second.
Not 100%, but it was a bold prediction. It was kind of a hot take. I do think, though, that they'll figure out a way to kind of help him get in space and just help him get comfortable. And so maybe if he's not even if he's not a top 3 quarterback, that he can be good enough to kind of keep you afloat maybe for a week if you have to stream a quarterback.
See, now this is me following in the steps of Mark Istook, who tried to put the reverse jinx on the Cowboys, and it worked.
You guys put the whammy on him.
I have Dak as a sit this week, and he had his best game since December of last year. 30 points against the Jaguars. I like saying that. But... I don't think people should go and chase the points. I mean, Prescott's had, fewer than 14 points in 7 of his last 8 road games. The Redskins' defense, I think, is a streamable option this week against the Cowboys. Look at the numbers. The Cowboys at home, dude, they're tough. My squad is tough at home. You get them on the road, they turn into puppy dogs. They can't beat anybody. So I would say don't chase the points with Dak, and certainly don't chase the points with Cole Beasley. Because I've gotten a lot of questions on Twitter. Cole Beasley, huge game, 30 points against the Jaguars. Should I pick him up and play him? The answer to both of those questions is no, okay? And I get it. He went nuts. Don't chase the points. The Redskins have allowed the fewest yards, 1 touchdown, and the 4th fewest PPR points to slot receivers this season, okay? The Jaguars, they struggle against slot receivers. And we saw that, again, I talked about it with Chris Hogan earlier in the season. The guy's had 1 good game and 1 monster game. There's not a Cowboy that I would play in this game that's not named Ezekiel Elliott. Not one. Not even Brent Mayer.
So you're playing a kicker, huh?
And he's the second highest scoring kicker in fantasy football. I had him as a start last week. He had like 20 points, but I'm not touching him this week. I really think, and I hate to say this because I'm a Cowboys fan from the East Coast who really dislikes the Giants, but is not a big fan of the Redskins either. And I feel like the Redskins are going to beat us this week. I think it's going to be one of those like 17-13 games. Not a lot of offense on the Cowboys side of the field. Maybe not a lot of offense overall. I mean, the Redskins are down Jamison Crowder. They're banged up. Chris Thompson's still banged up. So this could be kind of an ugly game, man. I'm staying away.
So then would you start anybody on the Washington side then?
Well, if Chris Thompson is active, I'm going to play him. But the problem is I believe that game is a 1:25 Pacific start. I believe.
So that is an afternoon game.
So if Thompson is late and active, you better have somebody to put in, because if you don't, you're going to be in big trouble. So I would play him. I'm not particularly in love with Adrian Peterson this week. I guess he's a flex. Somebody's got to catch the ball for the Redskins. I'm hoping at some point it'll be Jordan Reed.
I mean, maybe.
Right. I mean, but he hadn't done anything. So, you know, and Richardson's banked up as well.
Right.
Like, they just signed a guy off the practice squad. Like, they're hurting.
Josh Doctson has not been visible. He's not been a thing.
I know. Like, you know, people talk about, you know, Laquan Treadwell being a first-round bust. I mean, Josh Doctson's done nothing.
He's done nothing. And I thought he was...
Zip.
I liked him as a sleeper this year, but he's done nothing.
Just think and I have Chris Thompson in so many leagues. Just think of all the dump-off passes that Smith would be throwing to him if all these Redskins receivers are banged up and we know Crowder's out. Oh, man. But we got to see. Check the practice report. If Chris Thompson is active, he's a very good play.
Rams at 49ers. We talked a little bit about Josh Reynolds and what he could do potentially with Cooper Kupp out this week. I assume, though, because you know, you talked about starting Jared Goff and stuff, this is a bounce-back game for him this week, right?
Yeah, dude, this is a get-right game. And he's had two bad games in a row, at least from a fantasy perspective. I mean,
right.
The Rams are winning.
They're undefeated, so.
So, I mean, you know, if we said that to his face, he'd be... Dude, I'm undefeated. How are you doing in your fantasy leagues? But this is a get-right game. You know, the Niners giving up over 21 fantasy points a game to quarterbacks this season. So get-right game. You know, Robert Woods, you don't think about him when you're talking about the elite wide receivers, right? But, I mean, dude.
Well, because
he's been better than Odell Beckham Jr. He's been tremendous.
He's never been one of the elite receivers. I mean,
we started to see flashes last year, but now it's really coming out.
He's gone next level this year. I mean, and part of it is they're using him in so many different ways. They're using him in jet sweeps. He's in motion a lot. They have found ways to kind of scheme him open.
And this guy right now, the only receivers who have more fantasy points than Robert Woods are Adam Thielen, Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Nuke, AB, and Julio. And Julio hasn't scored a touchdown yet.
Right. I mean, that's
it's
pretty good.
He's been so, and now, I mean, I don't know if he's going to see a tremendous uptick in targets, but maybe he's going to see a little bit with Cooper out, at least this week, and maybe more. We'll see what happens. But Robert Woods has become a must start, and playing against the Niners?
Yeah, you're definitely starting him.
Yeah, dude. Okay. I mean, you're definitely starting
him.
So you're starting Gurley, that's a no-brainer. You're starting, you know, Woods, no-brainer. Brandon Cooks, close to a no-brainer. I think Goff is a very good play this week. You know, Reynolds, he's a deep league, you know, dart throw as far as I'm concerned. But on the 49ers side of the ball, okay, who is Raheem Mostert, Marcus?
Well, Raheem Mostert. He's the guy who broke everybody's heart on Monday night because he got all these touches.
Who got the most hurt from him playing last week? Anybody who started Alfred Morris.
Everybody with Alfred Morris was sitting there. I mean, my mentions are just full of...
Dude, that... Like, so I had... and it's my fault because I'm in so many leagues. And like Monday, like evening, when the inactives are coming out, like I'm trying to... Right, start him and sit him. So the inactives come out. I post him on Twitter, and like an idiot, I didn't even look. And if I had looked, I would have seen that Matt Breida was not on the list, and I would have said, "Oh, geez, I got Alfred Morris going in one of my leagues, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling was on the waiver wire in this league, so I could have gone and picked him up, put Morris on the waiver wire, and won." But because I'm an idiot, and I didn't even look at the inactive because I had so much stuff to do, and I figured Breida wasn't going to play. And I figured a lot of people didn't think Breida was going to play because the injury that he suffered when you saw it looked like he was going to be out for the season.
I'm starting to think that.
Right?
I was just starting to think that Matt Breida, I mean, maybe he's just super tough and heals really quickly, or maybe he's just really extra when he gets hurt.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. Maybe he's like a soccer player. But like, so that, I mean, it's my fault because I didn't pay attention with a million things going on. I should have paid attention. But it was weird, too, because literally, I posted the inactives. I got the TV on up here, and I'm writing start him and sit him. And then I look up, and Matt Breida's in the game.
Matt
and I was
playing.
Yeah. I was like, oh, S. He's playing? Oh, man. Well, I guess I could get at least 5 points out of Morris. Nope.
Nope.
Not so much.
Did he even play a snap?
He played one snap. It was an 8-yard run that got called back because of a holding penalty.
Welp.
That was it. And this mustard guy came in. Mustafar. Does anybody know what Mustafar is besides the two of us? Probably a lot of people who are like, Eddie, do you know what Mustafar is? No idea.
No clue.
But see, Eddie's a handsome, good-looking guy. He's in shape. He's too cool to watch Star Wars.
Like, no, I'm a Star Wars guy.
That's where Anakin Skywalker got burned up to a crisp.
That's where he became.
Oh, the name of the planet.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And for some reason, when I see this guy's name, I think of Mustafar, the Mustafar system. And I think of, you know, it's a volcanic planet. You know, like, whatever. I'm sorry.
What? Okay, I don't even know where to go.
I'm just saying, you know, it's been a long day today for us, Marcus.
Would you start Marquise Goodwin, who bounced back huge against the Packers?
Yeah, so, like, he's healthy now, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he hadn't done anything. People dropped him, so hopefully you picked him up. But this dude's not healthy. You can't play him. Even if he's active, you can't. He was banged up.
Right.
He looked healthy. He looked fast. And you know what? I mean, we're not giving C.J. Beathard enough credit. Okay, when Jimmy Garoppolo went down, everyone in the fantasy world said, well,
that's the end.
That's it, Marcus.
That's the end. Goodbye.
49ers offense, all their pieces, crapola.
I did still believe in Kittle. I thought Kittle would be okay.
Yeah.
I thought everybody else was done.
And guess what? I mean, you know, Breed is out there doing things. Kittle's been good. You know, Goodwin comes back and he's burning the Packers' DBs, which apparently isn't that hard. But the Niners offense, reports of its demise were severely exaggerated when Garoppolo got hurt.
I mean, and kudos to Kyle Shanahan. I mean, this is part of the reason the Niners went out and brought him in as their head coach, was to kind of bring this kind of offense after he had that record-setting year with the Falcons a couple years ago. So maybe we should give Kyle Shanahan some more credit and think that, you know, he can scheme up. You know, obviously, having C.J. Beathard is not having Jimmy Garoppolo, but he's keeping them afloat at least. He's making them competitive.
Yep.
So I think that's at least worth noting, and it's things we're paying attention to this week. Bengals at Chiefs. You're starting all your Bengals, right?
I think I'm starting everybody.
I see on both sides.
I'm starting Dalton. Right? I'm starting Mixon. I'm starting AJ. I'm starting Boyd. I'm starting.
Are you starting Sammy Watkins?
You know what? That's the one guy I feel like is the maybe on the outside looking in.
Kind of the wild like card
starter,
here, right?
Right. What does he have? One touchdown. He's got one game with over 80 yards. He's third in the pecking order behind Tyreek and Travis Kelce, clearly. Actually had a little bit of fun, good cop, bad cop, with Jerry O'Connell, who likes Watkins this week. I was kind of the bad cop. I'm like, he's all right. CJ Uzama I would play this week, and on Kansas City side of the ball, I mean, who are you not playing that?
Oh, you're playing all the Chiefs.
Right? I mean, Harrison, butt kicker, you're playing him for sure. You're not playing the defenses.
That's about it.
That's about it. So that was easy.
That was easy.
Start them all.
Man, Sammy Watkins, like, I tried to cape for you a couple weeks ago, and, like, you've just been meh. Like, this is what he is, man.
He's like a tease.
I know.
You know? He's like Lucy holding the football in Peanuts. Huh, looks pretty good. Going to kick that sucker. And then he pulls it up out, and you land on your tuchus.
Man, that sucks. Giants at Falcons. That is on Monday night down there in Hotlanta.
Is there anyone you wouldn't play in this game, Marcus Grant? I'm going to let you go off on this one, buddy.
Anyone I would
that you
not
would
play.
Not play. Now Ridley is banged up and Sanu is banged up, so keep tabs on their status. But
right, but I mean, if they're healthy, I think I'm playing those guys. I'm playing pretty much all the Giants, especially Evan Ingram, because he's back this week. So that means that's another tight end we add back into the pool, so that's a plus. You know, I've said Eli Manning is a sleeper this week. You can stream him if you need to. Obviously, Saquon may have just a record-setting day against this group. I mean, they can't stop a running back
to
save their lives.
They're terrible.
Saquon may have all of the points this week. So, yeah, I'm trying to think of any Falcons that I wouldn't start.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, I can't really think
about it.
I mean, maybe Austin Hooper is sort of a question mark, I guess. But even that, like, I'd still start Austin Hooper probably.
So basically, you're starting all your Falcons, you're starting all your Giants. Eli's a streaming option if you need one. Sterling Shepard's a good play in this game. Atlanta, they're bad. They're extremely bad against slot receivers. And Ingram, keep tabs on his status as long as he doesn't have any setbacks on Friday. Saturday should be a go. And as Marcus said, that's going to help the depth tight end position because it's tough.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty
tough
bad
out there.
So Ito Smith, I mean, we're figuring we're starting him too. I just feel like he is so touchdown dependent because his yardage numbers haven't really been great. Like, you need him to get in the end zone to really get anything out of him.
Yeah, no question about that. But I'll tell you one thing. everybody out there who watched the Giants-Eagles game, and that was on national television last week, you've got to be excited if you've got any Atlanta Falcons offensive skill position players, especially Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. That defense looked terrible. That looked like a team that didn't want to be out there at times. And Matt Ryan he's the new Ben Roethlisberger. This guy is redonkulously good at home and on the road. I think he's averaging like 14 a game. So he's home, start him. I mean, you could argue that outside of Patrick Mahomes, there's not a better quarterback start in fantasy football this week than Matt Ryan.
Yep, you're probably
which
right.
is nuts because he was a gigantic bust last year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, year two under Sark, maybe he just needs that year to kind of work out the kinks. Because even his first year under Kyle Shanahan wasn't great. And it was that second and third year that he really took off. So maybe he just needs that year to kind of work out all the bugs. And then go there.
Just
so
keep scoring them points.
There you go. So that's our Week 7 preview. Before we get out of here,
Eddie!
wait.
What? I think Eddie was like eating an apple or something in there. What were you doing? Yeah, you're
oh, no, I was ready to go. I hit the button quickly and it didn't, for some reason, our iPad here did not want to react.
Betrayed by technology.
Unfortunately.
So, yeah, so your delirious pick of the week.
I have a delirious pick, and Marcus, I'm very glad you just brought up Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins is a guy that I have on my team, and it's part of the reason why I'm talking about him today. He's a guy that's like, when he's on your bench, you're like, oh, my bench looks great. But you never want him to be in the starting lineup. But because of the buys and a few injuries and other stuff, my delirious pick for this week is Sammy Watkins, while it scored Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and Kareem Hunt for the Chiefs. Watkins' numbers, I mean, he's at a 5, 19, 18, a 0, a 13, and a 3. So I feel like we're due for the Sammy Watkins game of the year. I feel like it's a good week for that. Bengals, 27th in pass yards per game in the league. They give up over 300 yards, and they give the 10th most fantasy points to receivers. So maybe it can go well. And I could see Sammy Watkins with the, you know, a 30-35 point game.
Ooh, that's spicy. I like it.
Wow. He's that
due.
Is.
He is due.
Yeah.
He is due. And it all, you know, because it always comes, like, you can never really predict the Sammy Watkins week.
Exactly.
He kind of shows up out of nowhere. So I like it. I dig it. By the way, I was like keeping track. Like, I feel like this Cooper Kupp injury.
Oh, that hurts so much.
Right. I thought about that too when he went down. I'm like, oh, because Eddie, you were looking good. You were looking really good with that. And so that puts a big dent in that the Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, he's gonna have to have a monster game to keep up with guys like Thielen and the rest that are just tearing it up. But I feel bad. I mean, I don't know how he came back. I thought he was done for the season.
I thought he was done for the year.
That was, gross play.
Really, really did.
And he came back and like they're like, oh yeah, he's coming out of the tunnel. He's good for the second half. And I was like, okay,
yeah,
all right. They had a card though.
Right, exactly.
You want to do some mailbag here?
Let's
do
a couple
well?
Quick mailbags if we could.
All right, I'll do some quick ones here. We have @SteveLatham13s one receiver. One tight end between Edelman and Kenny Golladay and George Kittle or OJ Howard.
Kittle, I would definitely go for tight end.
Okay. I'm going Golladay.
Was it Golladay? Who are the other?
And Edelman.
Yeah, I think I go Golladay too. Yeah.
We have @TravisWeb 1220 wide receiver pickup Albert Wilson, Bird Alert, Goodwin or Taylor Gabriel.
Gabriel. Ooh, I think I go Gabriel.
I like Goodwin too, but Gabriel.
Yeah, I go. My order would be Goodwin, Gabriel. And then the Bird Alert.
And last one we have is @DLHokie17, Week 7 Flex, Ridley or Lindsay?
Ooh.
I don't know what's going on. I
think I go Lindsay.
Yeah, you have to because you don't know what's going on, you know, with Ridley, and that's a Monday night game. So.
Yeah, so I think I go Lindsay there. So, all right.
So is that it? Hey, are you going to see Halloween this week?
Probably not.
Come on. Eddie, you're a horror guy?
I cannot watch scary movies.
Come on, man.
I'm a huge movie guy. Well, not that
really?
Movie. That'll keep me. I mean, I'll be thinking about
Come
that.
Come on.
4 a.m. I'll wake up.
Anybody, before we go, anybody out there who loves horror like I do, go to Netflix and watch The Haunting on Hill House. It is so freaking good. I'm not done with it yet. I think I'm through 7 episodes. It's so good. It's like the creepiest, best, like, horror series that I've seen in a long, long time. And it's Halloween, man. So I'm going to see Halloween. I want to see Michael Myers carve some people up.
All right. Well,
hopefully our fantasy players will carve some people up this weekend.
Have fun with that.
What do you think?
Let's see.
I'm not inviting you.
That would be. That's,
come on.
That's fine because I wasn't going
to. Come on. Myers.
Thank you again to Jerry O'Connell for stopping by and talking some fantasy with us. Be sure to check out his show. Was it Carter on WGN America? So check that out and check him out on Bravo too. Talking I was going to say talking fantasy, talking like Real Housewives.
Yeah, like with Andy Cohen. Yeah, dude. So, I mean, J.O. is out there, man.
So that should be a whole lot of fun. So check him out there. And always remember, just because you've always done it the same way doesn't mean it's not dumb. We'll see you on Thursday.